The Last Charade by Rosemary. Hutch sat on the couch, picking at his guitar. The somber notes that kept coming out of his instrument were doing nothing to lighten his mood. He continued to try, but even black bean soup sounded like a dirge this evening. In one of those dark places where music couldn't penetrate, the events of the day kept reeling through his mind. The jeweler, his clerk, their murderers. 5 men ceaselessly slaughtered in as many minutes. And for what? A handful of cold stones? Hutch shook his head, attempting to clear away the images. One stubborn picture remained, refusing exorcism. The same one that had been crowding the others out all afternoon. Starsky. The scraped, bloody knee showing through his torn jeans totally ignored as he reached out to touch him in the dreadful silence that followed the last bullet being fired. Starsky's bullet, aimed at the unseen gunman that would have taken his life. That shouldn't have been the scene that stuck in his head. The other horrors of wasted life should have greater significance. Should have, but didn't. His fingers slipped and the guitar twanged sharply off key as he admitted a truth that had been hiding from him for the past few months. He'd had glimpses of it, elusive intuitions that shattered his personal life, but only now did he clearly see it for the first time. When he thought back on this day and the years to come, he knew that touch would be the thing best remembered. That acknowledgement disturbed him, for it violated every vow he'd ever made to himself. Starsky was his friend, always his best friend, but never more than friend. That was the only way they could continue to work as a team, the only way that Kenneth Hutchinson could survive. This new truth couldn't be. It endangered too many of the old ones. Shaken, Hutch tried to put reality back into a bearable perspective. Of course he would remember that touch. His best friend had just saved his life. There wasn't anything more to it than... The shrill blare of the phone made him jump. Hutch hesitated answering, figuring it was probably the office. He tried to remember where Starsky had said he was going tonight, not looking forward to the mood his partner would be in after being dragged away from another date. "Yeah," he snarled. "Ken, that you?" His anger and even some of his earlier doubts cleared. Hutch felt a small smile come unbidden to his lips. That was one tone of voice the caller had never heard him use before. "Oh, hi, Andy. How are you doing?" "Better than you, from the sound of things. What's wrong, Ken?" The concern was genuine and flowed over his troubled spirit like cool stream water down a thirsty throat. He could almost see the worry clouding the green-gray eyes. "Nothing. Just a case that won't fade easy." "Yeah, had a few like that myself." Hutch suspected that the sensitive resident had had more than just a few. "Am I interrupting something?"
"No."
"You sound really down." Hutch shrugged. "I'll be all right."
"Where's your partner?"
There was more than just a trace of accusation in the question. "At a rock club with a stewardess named Kathy. I wouldn't go. Didn't feel like dancing." Actually, he hadn't felt like tagging along again, regardless of how much Kathy liked him. Starsky had offered to cancel and stay with him, as he'd done in the past. "He left you alone anyway? Look, if it weren't for Starsky, I'd be..." The "dead" he'd intended to finish the sentence with was never spoken. Another answer whispered somewhere from the depths of his soul. "If it weren't for Starsky, I'd be able to love you." "Hey, I didn't mean that the way it sounded. It's just that, well, you sound sad, sort of lonely. Feel like some company?" "We've been through this before, Andy," Hutch warned sternly. The one real fight between them had been caused by his lover's first surprise visit.
"Yeah, I know all that, but your partner's out for the night, and you're off till morning, aren't you?"
"Yes," Hutch answered, steeling himself for another long-distance argument. "It'd be safe. No one would ever know I was there. I'll leave before dawn, or whenever you say.
Just let me see you tonight?"
Something in his friend's voice made it difficult to say no. Maybe it was because he'd said it so many times lately.
"Andy. Come on, Ken. You sound like you could use a friend."
Use a friend.
He'd been using this poor kid for over 7 months now. Until tonight, he'd consoled his conscience by telling himself that it was a two-way street. A doctor had to be just as discreet as a cop. Their casual, convenient relationship had worked for them both. But lately, their uncomplicated relationship had changed. Or maybe he had just started listening to some of the things his lover had been telling him all along. Their first night together, Dr. Andrew Brennan's first time with another man, Andy had told him he loved him. Hutch had dismissed it for what it was, an expression of the intense passion they'd shared, an infatuation that would quickly fade once he'd gone. Hutch had intended only a one-night stand, no commitment. But he hadn't gone, and it hadn't faded. He'd stayed because it was convenient, and because what he'd shared with Brennan that first night held more tenderness and compassion than he'd experienced in a whole life of one-night stands. Now he believed Andy was in love with him for real, and would have to face some of the things he'd been running from that night he'd picked the young doctor up in a San Francisco bar. "Ken, you still there?"
"Yeah, I'm still here."
"What do you say? It's been over 2 weeks since we've last seen each other, and I miss you." The last was said with uncharacteristic hesitance.
"I miss you too, Andy," Hutch assured him, meaning it.
"Then can I come?"
"What about planes? You mightn't be able to. There's a flight out in 40 minutes. I can be there in 2 hours.
This wasn't exactly a spur-of-the-moment idea, was it?
"Told you I missed you. I thought it was worth a shot, only I didn't think you'd go along with it."
"I haven't been very good to you, have I, Andy?"
He hadn't meant to say the words out loud, and the sudden silence at the other end of the line made him wish he hadn't.
"Knock it off, Ken. I'll be there in a little while, okay?"
"I'll be waiting."
"Good. I'll see you then."
There was a pause, as if there was something more he wished to say. Then a click. Hutch knew what hadn't been said. Responses that never came had long ago discouraged Andy of speaking openly of his love. 2 hours later, the doorbell rang. Hutch took one last look around the hastily cleaned apartment and went to answer it, fighting down a sudden wave of nervousness. He needed to see his lover, needed to assure himself that nothing had changed. There were times when he felt that he was very close to returning Andy's love. Knew that if he could only see him more often, all these other doubts would disappear.
"Hi," Brennan greeted warmly as Hutch opened the door. Their eyes met and held. Hutch found a smile and a bit of rekindled hope.
"Hi yourself."
He stepped aside to let his friend in. As Brennan passed, Hutch allowed himself one of the appreciative looks generally forbidden in public. They were the same height, exactly, almost the same build. Brennan being slightly more muscular. Hutch, whose own stature often made him feel clumsy, found himself constantly admiring the grace and self-confidence with which Andy moved. It was that confidence which had first attracted him. Hutch recalled how on the night they'd met, he'd been depressed, turning down every pass that came along. Until Andy. The cliched "come on" he'd used had sounded like something lifted from one of those old 40s movies Starsky loved to watch. Unbelievably corny, but the cocky assurance with which it had been delivered intrigued him. It wasn't until they'd gotten back to Brennan's apartment that confidence had faltered and he'd realized that the younger man was a complete novice.
"Are you expecting more company?"
"No, why?" Hutch asked, not understanding the amused smile.
"The door?"
Hutch closed it, feeling like the novice now, with a nervousness he couldn't explain.
"You look good," he covered.
Andy smiled at the compliment.
"So do you, but then you always look good, except..."
"Except what?"
"Except you don't look happy."
"I shouldn't have come, huh?"
"I'm glad you did. It's just tension." He stood still as Brennan reached out to gently knead his shoulders, a look of intense concentration on his face.
Hutch wound his arms around the trim waist, leaning heavily against his friend. It felt good to be close to him again. He rested his head on Brennan's shoulder, letting the touch flow through him, watching the expressions that flickered across the handsome face. The green eyes glanced down at him and didn't look away. Hutch read the same thought in those eyes that had been on his mind. They hadn't kissed yet.
Brennan's head lowered, and their lips met in a soft, lingering kiss. They parted reluctantly. Hutch took a deep breath, feeling the body supporting most of his weight waver unsteadily. He tightened his grip and guided them towards the couch, slipping Brennan's jacket off his shoulders as they moved. Locked in each other's arms, they sank onto the cushions, kissing and touching hungrily. Hutch felt himself relaxing. This was what he'd needed, a dose of slow, tender loving. He gazed into Andy's eyes. Beyond the slightly glazed, gray-green depths, he could see sparks of fire that his lover was holding in check in an obvious effort to pace himself to his needs. Hutch kissed him again, fiercely this time. Brennan gasped. His lips moved from mouth to throat. Using his lips as well as fingertips, Hutch started unbuttoning Andy's shirt, noticing that his own was already three-quarters of the way undone. Brennan's hands were roaming restlessly over his chest, urging quicker action. Hutch took his time, enjoying the prolongation, stretching it out for both of them. Hutch buried his face in his friend's chest, sucking on a nipple while his fingers carted through soft curls above an ear. Gentle curls, the color of wet sand, not tight ones as dark as the midnight sky. That was another unsettling fact that had come to his conscious attention the night he'd picked up Andy. He'd suddenly realized that it had been more than 3 years since he'd been to bed with a dark, curly-haired man. There was only one consolation to the nagging discovery, the idea that it probably would have been much worse had he been sleeping with nothing but men who physically resembled his partner, although Hutch wasn't entirely certain if avoiding them completely was much better. He looked up from the nipple he was still nuzzling, realizing that he'd allowed his mind to wander again. Annoyed, he took Andy's mouth in a deep kiss, hoping that its intensity would make up for his lapse of attention. Brennan didn't seem aware of anything other than his touch. For some reason, that only seemed to add to his guilt. Andy squirmed in his arms, pressing his hips against him before pulling out of the kiss, eyes hot, feverish. "Come on, Ken. Have a little mercy," the hips arched beseechingly. Hutch took his time moving to Brennan's belt buckle, letting the anticipation build. Finally, his fingers touched the cold brass buckle. Brennan expelled a captured breath, then lay completely still, waiting. Hutch started to undo it, fumbling for effect, when an unexpected buzzing made the fumbling genuine. He pulled his hand away and stared into Andy's equally shocked face as the doorbell rang again. "What the—" "I'll take care of it. Stay right where you are," he whispered in annoyance. Sitting up, he quickly buttoned his shirt. He had just started to walk towards the door when the ringing changed to an impatient pounding. "Hey, Hutch, you in there?" Starsky's voice called loudly. His legs froze, abruptly paralyzed. He'd had 1,000 nightmares, all with a scene similar to this, but none had prepared him for this type of terror. "Hutch, you home?" Metallic jingling on the other side of the door reminded him that he'd forgotten to take the key in with him again. The game was over. Starsky was going to walk right in and catch him red-handed with a half-naked lover on the couch. There'd be no explaining. The time for honesty was long past. His partner would never understand. Hutch saw the lock turn and found his voice, partially because of a desire to scream, and because he knew it would be even worse were he found speechless with terror. I'm coming, Starsk," he croaked hoarsely, stumbling to the door. It opened as he reached it. Hutch grabbed the knob, physically blocking the entrance. "Oh, you're home. Good." Starsky looked relieved. "What took you so long?" Miraculously, his partner didn't wait for an answer. Instead, he bent over to pick up what looked like a large white laundry bag and started talking as he brushed by the blonde. "Kathy got stuck with a flight to Japan, so we had to cancel, and when I got home..." "Hutch, do you think a couch will dry out and still be okay?" Starsky asked worriedly. "Huh? What?" It suddenly registered on his fear-dazed mind what his eyes were focused on. Starsky's emergency jeans, the bottoms of which were darkened by wet stains that were slowly spreading up the calves. Starsky seemed to notice the direction of his gaze. "One of the pipes busted. My living room looks like a kiddie pool. Huggy's cousin's been pumping water out for 2 hours, but he says it'll be morning before it's drained. Can I borrow your couch?" During the pause that followed, as Hutch tried to sort out the jumble of planes, pipes, and couches, he saw Starsky's gaze wander from his face to the living room. His blood chilled even colder. How was he going to explain the half-naked, aroused man on his sofa? The victim of an explosion in the laundry room? Girls in the bathroom? Or, hey, Stars, guess what? Your partner's gay. Starsky's expression changed to one of mild curiosity. Very slowly, Hutch gathered the courage to look at the couch. Andy was casually seated there, shirt fully buttoned, jacket draped neatly over the sofa back. He breathed a relieved sigh and shot a grateful look at his lover. Andy, seeming to sense that the silence was dragging on too long, spoke. Hi. The greeting was nervous, but no more so than that of any guest who had not been properly introduced. Starsky, this is Dr. Andrew Brennan. Andy, Dave Starsky, my partner, Hutch stammered, damning the formality of the introduction. It didn't sound like him. Starsky appeared to think so, too, judging by the smile on his face and the teasing tone of his response. Hello, Dr. Andrew Brennan. Everyone call you that? Just my close friends, Brennan answered, sounding very much the doctor, but you can call me Andy if you want. Starsky chuckled and Brennan joined in, sharing the pleasure of teasing him. Although Hutch didn't laugh, the happy sound relaxed the blonde, who no longer sensed imminent catastrophe.
You a real doctor? Starsky asked. You look kind of young.
I'm a resident at UC Med Center.
Yeah? Where'd the blonde blends pick you up?
The innocent comment seemed to ruffle Brennan's composure. He looked at Hutch, who stared helplessly back at him before ad-libbing a response.
I called him. Was on my way up from Santa Ana when my car broke down. The mechanic said it wouldn't be fixed till morning, so Ken's the only person I know in L.A.
Starsky accepted the story, smiling fondly at his partner. Hutch, unable to meet the innocent eyes, stared guiltily at the floor. He was grateful to Andy for protecting him, but the lie was painful.
Where you two know each other from?
Hutch sensed the question was directed towards him. He looked up, wanting to tell the truth and say that he met the kid in a San Francisco bar, but he couldn't speak. Brennan answered the question for him with a truthful, back home.
Brennan's home.
Back home, huh? He a big brother to you, too? Brennan's cheek reddened as he glanced at his quiet friend.
Not exactly.
His eyes looked worried as they focused on Hutch. Then a glint of mischief entered them as he turned back to Starsky.
Hey, Starsky, what's a blonde blintz?
Starsky grinned, started to explain, then stopped, looking at Hutch with a mock fearful expression.
I'll tell you sometime when he's not around.
Still nervous, Hutch managed to enter the conversation, comforted by the normality of his partner's banter.
You do, and I'll tell him how you got your nickname.
Which is, Andy inquired,
the Dirtball.
Starsky's cheek darkened to a deep red. You wouldn't, he pleaded.
No,
Hutch turned to Andy, completely certain of the effect his action would have.
You see, we were on this undercover assignment as, okay, you win, Hutch, cut it out, huh?
Whatever you want, Hutch relented.
What I want is a wet beer and some dry pants. You still got those jeans I left here?
Somewhere, try the closet. They watched Starsky hunt through the bedroom closet, mumbling under his breath as he sorted through 8 pairs of seemingly identical pants. When he disappeared into the bathroom with an armload of faded denim and a doleful, this hasn't been a good day for blue jeans, a heavy silence fell between the room's 2 remaining occupants.
Want a beer? Hutch asked, hoping to relieve some of the tension.
Brennan nodded and followed him out to the kitchen.
Is he always like that?
The tone of the whisper was somewhere between shock and amusement.
Pretty much. Why?
Brennan shrugged. He's so
overwhelming, Hutch suggested when Brennan seemed unable to find a fitting adjective.
Yeah, that he sure is.
You don't think he's suspected?
Hutch shook his head, his voice turning bitter with self-loathing.
No, he trusts me.
If I say you're a friend from my hometown, he'll believe you're a friend from my hometown.
Hey, Ken, I'm sorry if I didn't mean to get you into this mess.
It's not your fault. I didn't know what to say when he walked in on us like that.
We could tell him if you want.
No, the answer was decisive. Not that way.
It's just that I've never lied to him before.
You want me to leave?
Maybe then you could...
No, you can't do that either, Hutch said. Uncapping the last bottle of beer, he was slowly beginning to realize that Brennan's story had effectively trapped the three of them in this apartment for the night. "You said your car would be in the shop till morning." Morning. Suddenly a million hours away, a million hours filled with Starsky pumping Brennan for information about his past with the same persistence he'd used on Nancy and Mrs. Blake. Their story could never hold up under that kind of intense examination. "Maybe we should..." Brennan's voice cut off at the sound of a door opening. "Hutch!"
"Out here, Starsk."
"So," Starsky said, accepting the offered beer and leaning back on the counter, "what are we going to do tonight?"
"Do?" Hutch echoed, the memory of a shattered plan slipping into his mind.
"Yeah, do. It ain't every night you get visitors. We should do something special, you know, show 'em the town."
Hutch stammered for an answer, beginning to feel he was losing control of the situation again.
I saw most of the tourist attractions last spring," Brennan supplied.
"Oh, well, what do you say the three of us go out and find some ladies, then go dancing?"
The empty silence that followed Starsky's question crawled through his nerves. He looked at Brennan, the pale face deciding his answer.
"I don't think so, Starsk."
"Why not?"
"For one thing, your knee's still hurting you, and all three of us have to be up early tomorrow."
Starsky looked ready to argue the point, then apparently changed his mind in favor of another line of reasoning.
"Well, what do you think we should do?"
"Monopoly," Hutch suggested lamely.
Both Starsky and Brennan burst into laughter at that.
Brennan calmed first, his greenish eyes softly sympathetic as they settled on him. "What about a movie or something?"
"Yeah, how about it, Hutch? There's a double feature at the Rivoli tonight."
It sounded like a safe distraction to Hutch. At least the movie would discourage conversation.
"Okay," he agreed. "What's playing?"
"A classic, and it's remake," Starsky replied cryptically, then turned to Brennan. "You like monster movies?"
"Love them."
"Good, let's go then," Starsky said, turning into the living room with the eager speed of a little boy who'd convinced reluctant parents to humor him and was still afraid of their changing their minds.
"Starsk," Hutch said, slipping into his jacket, "just what is this classic?"
"It, the terror from beyond outer space, an alien."
"Oh.
Don't worry, Hutch, you'll love them," Starsky promised. Hutch dropped the white tablets into his water glass and watched them fizzle away. His stomach felt like John Hurt's must have during the crew dinner in the last film they'd seen. He leaned back against the closed bathroom door, wishing he could spend the rest of the night behind it. The unrelieved tension was getting to him, and the fact that he seemed to be the only one feeling it didn't help him at all. The catastrophe he'd feared had never materialized. Objectively, viewing the evening, Hutch had to admit that it had gone well. The movies had kept Starsky and Brennan from talking for most of the night, and had also provided a lively, if lurid, topic for discussion at the dinner table afterwards. In fact, had it been Starsky and him and Kathy, or Starsky and him and anyone other than his present male lover, the night would have been perfect. As it was, he felt seconds away from a nervous breakdown.
"Hutch, hurry up, will ya?"
his partner's voice intruded on his solitude. He downed the bitter seltzer water and turned the bathroom over to his friend. Brennan smiled at him from the couch as he came out and sat down beside him. "Feeling better?"
"Some," Hutch answered, finding a smile. "I'll be glad when tonight's over."
"It hasn't been that bad," Brennan protested.
"No, guess you're right."
"Thanks," Hutch said, realizing how much had depended upon his lover's cooperation.
"What for?"
For going along with all this. It can't have been easy."
"Hell, I like monster movies. Besides, how often do we have a chance to be just friends? It's nice for a change."
Brennan's hand, which had been resting on the couch's back beside Hutch's head, began to absently play with his hair. Hutch jerked away, his eyes darting towards the bathroom.
I forgot," Brennan explained, a hurt look in his eyes. "It's okay."
"Is it?" Brennan's voice sounded strange.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
The opening bathroom door cut off the rest of his question. Starsky entered, looking tired. Hutch breathed a sigh of relief at having escaped the anticipated talkathon. As his yawning partner sat down, another anticipated problem presented itself. Sleeping arrangements. Who is going to take the couch? Andy had come with the intention of sharing his bed, among other things. After the evening they'd had, Hutch didn't have the nerve to ask him to sleep on the sofa. Starsky had asked for the couch, but that was before he'd known there was a third person staying.
It would seem weird to his partner if he took a stranger to bed with him. What do you think, Hutch?
Huh? He looked blankly at his partner. Starsky patiently repeated his question. Which one do you think was scarier?
Are you back to that again?
Hutch supposed he should be grateful that Starsky had taken an immediate liking to Brennan. It had made the night pass quicker, but seeing them talking so much still unnerved him. He looked from one waiting face to another, having the absurd feeling that he was being asked to pick sides.
The alien in the second film was more frightening than the Martian monster, he said finally to Starsky, who sided with the gorier remark. But the first movie itself was scarier.
That's no answer. It's the only one I've got.
Guess it's a draw, Brennan said softly. The forgiving smile on his face told Hutch that he was aware of his dilemma.
Guess so, Starsky agreed, yawning again. Don't know about you two, but I'm going to call it a night.
Hutch felt Brennan's eyes on him, knew that he was waiting for him to assign sleeping quarters. Before he could voice his suggestion that Andy take the bed, Starsky the couch, and he the floor, his partner was standing and moving towards the adjoining bedroom.
Don't forget to set the alarm when you come in, Hutch. The captain will kill us if we're late again this week. Night, Andy.
When Hutch looked back at Andy, his surprise had faded to a strange tightness.
Think I'll take a shower.
I'll get some sheets.
Fine.
Brennan's voice was cold and uncaring. Hutch searched his face for some sign of understanding, but Andy turned away from him and stalked into the bathroom.
Should have stayed there myself, Hutch muttered.
You say something, Hutch? Surprised, he looked into the next room. Now he was sure the walls were closing in.
No, Starsk, nothing important.
He got the sheets and made up the couch, leaving the lamp on so Brennan could find his way back to the makeshift bed.
Starsky, stripped down to his briefs, was turning back the covers when he walked in.
The tight underwear seemed strikingly white against his lightly tanned flesh and moving muscles.
Hutch's inside stirred nervously as he watched, the feeling frighteningly familiar.
Bending across the bed to untangle the spread from where it was caught around a far pillow, Starsky's eyes strayed his way. The relaxed body straightened suddenly.
You scared me. Didn't hear you come in.
Sorry, Hutch mumbled, ducking his head to hide the embarrassing heat coloring his cheeks. He kicked off his shoes and started unbuttoning his shirt, forcing himself to concentrate on his actions and not his companion.
What happened to the bandage? He demanded as Starsky climbed into bed.
Starsky looked down at his scraped knee and shrugged. Fell off, I guess.
You can't go to bed like that, Hutch said, seeing the light glisten off the still wet scabless cut.
It's just a scraped knee, Hutch. No big deal.
The way he'd gotten it, saving his partner's life, made it no big deal. They both knew, had Starsky gotten that scrape any other way, he'd have been complaining about it all night.
It'll stick to the sheets if you don't cover it up, Hutch warned. Let Andy put a fresh bandage on it.
No, Starsky said sullenly, pulling his injured knee up close to his chest and wrapping his arms around the leg.
He's a doctor, Starsk. He'll put it on so it stays on this time. I don't trust doctors.
But you like Andy.
Hutch felt as if you were arguing with a stubborn child.
I don't want it.
Well, I don't want you stuck to my sheets in the morning, Hutch answered testily, feeling his patience snap.
Then you do it.
What?
You fix it.
The stubbornness was gone, replaced by an expression of childlike trust.
But Andy's a doctor. He'll do it better, Hutch stammered, afraid to get that close to his near-naked friend.
A doctor put the last one on. You couldn't do it any worse.
But... please?
Lost in pleading blue, all he could do was nod. He went to the kitchen and brought back the first aid kit. He found Starsky seated at the bottom of the bed. Hutch knelt at his feet, resting the kit by Starsky's thigh.
All I've got to disinfect it with, he said, searching through the open box, is alcohol.
That's all he'd have. Go ahead.
Hutch wet a piece of gauze and began dabbing gently around the edges of the irritated sore. Overly tense muscles were the only thing which betrayed Starsky's pain until he attempted to clear off an ugly, pus-covered patch. Unable to tolerate the stinging, Starsky gasped and jumped to his feet, the front of his briefs accidentally bumping against Hutch's cheek. Battling his reeling senses, Hutch pulled back, the subtle scent of salt and mail clinging to his nostrils.
Sorry, Starsky apologized, sitting back down.
Hutch slowly opened his eyes. He didn't remember having closed them. He took a deep breath and started working on the cut again, trying to ignore his trembling fingers.
What's wrong? didn't mean to hurt you, he said softly, not daring to meet his friend's eyes.
Didn't hurt half as much as the stuff the doctor put on this afternoon. You finished already?
Hutch nodded and pressed down the last piece of adhesive tape.
Starsky's hand settled on his shoulder in a warm clasp. There was nothing unusual in the action, just something Starsky did all the time.
Hutch looked up, scared by it for the first time in his life.
Thanks, partner. Starsky's eyes glittered affectionately. Hutch gulped back the lump choking his throat.
Anytime.
Starsky scrambled to the top of the bed, leaving his shoulder cold and deserted. Hutch rose from his knees and finished undressing. He switched off the lamp and slipped into bed, being careful to leave as much space as possible between them.
Good night.
Good night. Starsky already sounded half asleep. Hutch listened to the breathing steadily deepen, knowing almost the exact moment when his partner slipped over into sleep. It made him feel good that Starsky could fall asleep so easily beside him. A few minutes later, he heard the bathroom door open and saw the living room light go out. He closed his eyes, trying to give his exhausted body and strained nerves the rest they needed, but found himself unable to sleep. His lover, whom he could touch but feared he'd never love, lay asleep on a couch 15 feet away, whereas the man he loved but could never touch was within arm's reach. He stared at the dark ceiling, contemplating the bizarre irony of the situation. The silence became louder as the night wore on. The sound of Starsky's breathing became the rhythm of the night, of his own body. Time was measured by the space between turns, landmarked by such events as the stealing of the covers and their subsequent falling to the floor. Still awake and shivering, Hutch stared across his partner's unconscious form at the shadowy heap of fallen covers. Just when he'd decided to leave the relative warmth of the bed to retrieve them, Starsky turned, disrupting Hutch's mental timetable. A different kind of shiver passed through him as Starsky's butt settled uncomfortably close to his groin. He considered getting up and picking up the blankets as he'd planned, returning to lie a respectable distance away, but changed his mind. Instead, he slipped the arm that had been propping his head up under his partner and draped the other across him. He moved closer to the sleeping warmth. Their bodies fit comfortably together like an artist's mold and its matching plaster. On the street, in the office, or even at play, Starsky's presence always made him feel more secure. Tonight was no different. Hutch held his friend close, pretending that Starsky wanted it that way. Starsky's warmth gradually crept through his body and troubled spirit, lulling him into a protected slumber. The light-hearted sound of the sparrows nesting on top of the restaurant sign broke into his sleep. The dull grayness spreading through his room told him that it was still very early. Panic gripped his groggy mind as he recognized the source of the blanketing warmth. Starsky was lying face down right on top of him. Afraid to move, he watched the ceiling brighten, his control fighting a losing battle with his senses. Several times he'd wakened with Andy stretched across him like this. Wiggling his hips usually awoke his lover to a deliciously exciting belly rub. If he moved now... Hutch gasped, his morning erection hardening as tingling spirals of sensation shot through his groin at the thought. He bit his lip, willing relaxation. Starsky was too close for that kind of fantasizing. His fear faded as his body calmed. Hutch held back his relieved sigh, knowing that such respite was only temporary. He had to get out of this soon. The minutes moved slowly by. Hutch kept waiting for Starsky to turn over and free him from the seductive entrapment, but his partner remained motionless. He smiled at the futility of trying to predict Starsky's behavior and tried not to dwell on the surrounding softness. With his partner's hair tickling his left ear and the weight of the sleeping body pressed hard against every inch of his own, Starsky was difficult to ignore. The desire to rub their lower bodies together was more easily suppressed than other minor liberties. Hutch found his hand unconsciously stroking the bare back it had been resting on. The skin was smooth under his touch, warm and incredibly tender. He let his fingers roam freely, lightly tracing his way down the backbone, then administering a gentle massage. Being able to hold Starsky close like this once in a while and touch him would almost be enough to satisfy. Hutch's hand froze at the sleepy murmur. Starsky shifted a little on top of him, his hips pressing hard against his thigh, and the dark head turning so that his lips now nuzzled Hutch's neck. He gasped at the unexpected action, his perceptions reeling under a dizzying burst of excitement. Starsky wanted him. The thought sang through his mind in deafening euphoria. Just as Hutch was about to tighten his arms around his partner, Starsky spoke, his voice foggy and far from alert.
Kathy.
Hutch's hand slipped up his side, stopping abruptly.
Hutch?
Just as suddenly as it had come, his elation vanished, leaving him dejected. Hutch screwed his eyes shut and feigned sleep as his friend's body tensed. He had the disquieting sensation of being stared at. Hutch hoped that his misery didn't show that Starsky would think he was still asleep and turn over and forget that it had ever happened.
Starsky wants me, the mocking thought echoed through his mind. The very idea was ludicrous. He'd just forgotten whom he was with. Starsky would never, could never want him that way.
Starsky rolled off him, the desertion a bitter confirmation of his thoughts. The cool morning air slapped at his exposed skin, chastising him for his foolishness. He tried to control the pain by telling himself that his partner's pulling away wasn't a personal rejection. Starsky didn't know how he felt. If he did... Hutch shivered, knowing that there'd be no questioning that rejection. He lay still as the bed rocked again, wondering if Starsky were getting up. Then, amazingly, he felt his partner pull closer to him. An arm settled protectively across his chest as two legs curled around his right leg. Seconds later, he felt Starsky's face burrow under his arm like a sleepy bear cub hiding from the morning sun. Something about the way Starsky cuddled up to him, the casualness of the action, made him feel very happy. It was almost as if his partner had just rolled over, identified the person he was with, then snuggled back into a warm embrace. Hutch knew that had he been any other man, his friend would be on the far side of the bed right now instead of curled around him. There was something very precious about that kind of trust, a childlike innocence that he could never violate. Savoring his contentment, he relaxed and waited for the alarm to ring. Hutch turned off the clock as it began to buzz. He sat up and carefully freed his leg, then eased out of the bed. Starsky turned from his side onto his stomach, his hands searching the now empty space. Stay there, Hutch whispered, covering his partner with the fallen covers. I'm going to take Andy. He couldn't lie, not this morning. Home. He patted the slumbering mound and turned, shocked to find a pair of cold green eyes watching him from the kitchen table. There was no doubt in his mind as to their color this morning. Even from across the room, the glare was unnervingly vivid, intense, and as friendly as an aroused tiger's.
Oh, hi.
He tried to keep his tongue casual, pretending to be unaware of the tension crackling between them. Brennan silently stared at him for an uncomfortably long minute, then replied in a dead monotone, Good morning.
You're up early.
Couldn't sleep.
Oh, sorry. Do you like some breakfast? He asked helplessly.
I'm not hungry. I think we should be leaving. I go on duty in 4 hours.
Sure, Hutch agreed slowly, realizing that now was not the time to press his lover.
He'd never seen Brennan like this before. He sensed it was something more than last night's couch, and remembered the twinge of guilt he'd felt on finding his lover watching him as he left the bed. The stare had been accusatory, the supercharged silence and icy replies even more so. He dressed quietly, occasionally glancing back at his occupied bed. There was nothing to feel guilty about, he decided. For all his longing, nothing had happened, or ever would.
Ready? Hutch asked, stepping back into the living room.
Brennan nodded, not meeting his eyes. They left his apartment, the silence between them as thick as the stone walls of a medieval castle. As they drove, the stillness deepened, playing on Hutch's frazzled nerves to the point where the rattling of his own car was getting to his almost as badly as it did his partner. Every glance at his quiet companion showed Brennan's eyes glued to his folded hands, his feelings revealed only by a tightening of the skin around the corners of his full lips and the laugh lines near his eyes. Hutch pulled the car out of traffic, pausing in front of a burned-down storefront. Andy looked up, obviously expecting to see the airline terminal. Seeing the gutted building, Brennan's gaze turned quizzically towards him. Hutch waited for a question. When none came, he asked softly, "Okay, what's bugging you?" For a moment, he thought that Brennan wasn't going to answer, that his friend was going to get on a plane and fly away without ever saying another word to him. Then Andy sighed, and the distant, unaffected mask crumbled into vulnerability. "You didn't tell me it was that way between you and your partner," Brennan said finally, his voice ragged with pain. "What?" Shocked, Hutch felt his mouth run dry, making him stumble over his word. What way? Starsky and I aren't..." He didn't say lovers, choosing more carefully, "sleeping together." Realizing that wasn't entirely true either, he tried to correct it. I mean, we don't make love, if that's what you're insinuating." "With you two, it doesn't matter." "What's that supposed to mean?" Hutch demanded.
Brennan shrugged, looking strangely embarrassed. "Just that the intimacy's there, even if the sex isn't."
"We've been partners for over 6 years, Andy. It's only natural that we'd be close."
Brennan cut him off. "I said intimate, not close."
"Oh, they're the same thing."
"No, they're not," Brennan insisted. "You do things in public with your partner that you don't even do in private with your lover."
"What the hell are you talking about?"
"Forget it."
"No, tell me."
Brennan examined him closely, the hurt hardness softening to sympathy after a few seconds. "You really don't know, do you?"
"Andy, please explain what intimacies you're talking about," Hutch pleaded, fear biting at his insides. "If Andy noticed it, what must Starsky be thinking?"
"Like last night at the taco place."
Hutch had expected something about this morning or his fear last night of Starsky catching Andy touching his hair. Brennan's example bewildered him, especially the way he said it, as if it were explicitly clear without further explanation. He searched his memories, trying to locate whatever slip he'd made to give away his true feelings, but found nothing.
"Huh?"
"I ordered a taco and a Coke. Starsky, 2 tacos and a root beer, and you had water. Then we sat down, and Starsky and I started talking about the movies." Brennan paused, obviously expecting him to remember the rest. He did. Nothing had happened. He had hardly spoken a word through the entire meal.
"So?" Hutch prompted.
"So in the middle of our discussion, you casually reached out, took Starsky's taco out of his hand, took a bite out of it, then gave it back."
"So what?" Hutch asked, mystified by the significance of a mouthful of taco.
"So he didn't even blink. It was like he was sitting there waiting for you to do it, like that was why he had bought 2 of them in the first place."
"You mean to tell me you're jealous because I took a bite of someone's taco?"
Brennan's cheek flamed at the accusation. "It wasn't just a bite. You shared both of them and even finished off his root beer, and I'd swear that neither one of you was consciously aware of what you were doing."
"Then what's the big deal? I was hungry."
"The big deal is that you've never done that with me, regardless of how hungry you were." Hutch looked away, wanting to deny the words and the truth behind them. His friend was right. He'd never shared half-eaten food with Andy or any other lover. Yet he did it with Starsky without even thinking. As his eyes settled on sparkling chips of the store's shattered window, Hutch realized something else. He was usually the one who did it unconsciously. His partner generally asked first. Hutch sat very still as Brennan went on, his voice echoing a deep sadness. "All along, I knew you didn't love me, but I thought it was because you were afraid of being hurt again, and that in time you'd come to...
I didn't know that you were..." "We're not lovers," Hutch nearly shouted.
"But you'd like to be," Andy said, then finished in a whisper. "You haven't once said that you're not in love with him."
I just don't know, Andy."
The honesty felt good after so many pretenses. "You're everything I ever wanted. Except I'm not him. He's
straight, goddammit! Straighter than I ever was!"
"You're right. I do love him, but he'll never love me the way you do. Never! Do you understand?" His desperation poured out, the hopelessness burning like salt on a raw wound. He knew that Brennan would never forgive him, but hoped to make him see that he hadn't intended to hurt him this way. Amazingly, Brennan reached out to touch his arm.
His face was pale, but not angry. I do understand, Ken, but...
But what? Hutch prodded, reading reluctance in the strong face.
I think you're overestimating how straight he is.
Huh? Brennan's voice turned bitter. He acts like he owns you, like he's got you staked out as his private property. If you hadn't told me he was straight, I'd swear he was a jealous lover.
You're crazy.
I was watching you both last night. You hide it pretty well, but it shows all over him.
How? Hutch demanded, unbelieving.
The way he moves, the way he touches and looks at you. It's like he wants to keep you all to himself. Territorial rights.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah? Well, think about it. When he first walked in on us last night, you wanted to keep us separated, didn't you? That way he wouldn't blow our cover. Hutch nodded, not seeing what any of this had to do with Brennan's point.
But who sat between us in the movie theater and the taco joint, and who maneuvered it that way?
The image of the oval booth at the taco joint flashed into his mind. He could see Starsky waving him in first, then sliding in after him. He hadn't thought about it at the time, and even now it didn't seem all that unnatural or planned. It certainly wasn't overtly possessive.
You're grasping at straws.
Maybe, Brennan conceded, staring pointedly at him. But why should I? I mean, why would I make it up if I didn't believe it? Hutch stared into the pain-filled eyes, their color still lost somewhere between green and gray, knowing in his heart that he'd never have the chance to find out which way they really were.
Why did you tell me?
I figured one of us should get what he wants. The sadness and the twisted smile tore at his heart.
Andy, you still care?
You've been good to me. Helped me learn things about myself that I probably never would have known if it weren't for you.
Neither of us can help how we feel.
Hutch bit his lip thoughtfully, hurting as he hadn't hurt in a long time. Andy was still playing it like a 40s movie, from start to finish, complete with an amiable separation. No hysterics, no sharp words, and seemingly no regrets. Except when he looked closely at his eyes. Then he could see the unshed tears clouding the wounded green wells.
Andy.
Yes.
What are we going to do?
The question didn't make any sense, but a sorry wouldn't even begin to cover the damage. They both knew the answer. When it's over, it's over. No going back. But to make those innocent eyes happy again, he'd almost be willing to try. Andy smiled. I'm going home, and you're going to go back and wake up your partner.
Hutch sensed that Brennan meant more than just getting Starsky out of bed.
He reached out to touch his ex-lover's cheek. A tear spilled out of the corner of one green eye, and the lips which had given him so much pleasure trembled. He gathered the trembling man into his arms, holding on tight as the traffic flowed obliviously past his window.